You're listening to Between the Stripes LOI podcast. Subscribe now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your favourite shows from. Now here are your hosts, Kieran Burke, Jonathan Breyer, and Gary Riley.
Hello everyone and welcome back to Between the Stripes LOI podcast. It's Series 9, Episode 35. We're almost there. The finishing line is within touching distance now. We're brought to you this week once again by Quinn AV. Check out quinnav.ie for all your sound, lighting and AV solutions. It's Kieran Burke and Gary Riley with you once again this week. And look, we're recording late on Tuesday night, so by the time the bulk of you listen to this, it could be beyond Wednesday. And the reason I mentioned that is because obviously Shamrock Rovers play Galway United on Wednesday night. So there's every chance by the time people listen to this that Rovers will already be champions. So we'll probably talk more about Rovers next week and the title and everything else. But we've got a lot to get through tonight. I know we put the tweet out earlier on and a lot of you tuning in to hear our thoughts on the Dundalk situation, which is just absolutely, it's carnage there at the moment. So we'll be talking about that in a little while, but we'll look back at the penultimate round of league games first, Gary. And we'll also have, we'll be talking about the playoffs as well, because the second legs of those playoff semi-finals have just wrapped up in the last few minutes. So we'll talk about that. There's a fairly busy BTS hotline to get through as well. But I suppose we'll start with the race for Europe, because that's been very, very interesting now for much of the season. And it's going to go right down to the wire for those last couple of European places. And I suppose we'll start with Derry, that 2-1 win against Shamrock Rovers on Sunday. How do we view Derry's season? I suppose we were fairly critical of Tiernan Lynch at times, maybe, particularly earlier in the season. But if they were to finish second in his first season in charge, you'd probably have to view that as a fairly successful campaign.
Absolutely. Particularly when you take the season as a whole. I know you have to do that anyway, but you know, at the start of the season, it was, you know, very inconsistent. There was a lot of players brought in. Young boy from Scotland, that I refer to the odd time, that didn't work out.
I think you could be describing a couple of lads there, to be fair.
Yeah, to be. Or Dundalk last season when, yeah, from the Scottish Highlands League or whatever. But I think, like, there was a lot of games where points were left behind. You know, if we look back and earlier on in the summer where, you know, the Brandywell wasn't rocking or being close to being sold out or anything like that. So it did get a bit grim at times. And there was a lot of talk about the state of the football on the pitch as well. So you could definitely make a very fair argument to say that, yeah, he pulled it out of the fire to be almost comfortably in second position. I know they had a good couple of results of late, and they're obviously three on the bounce, but good away win down in Waterford last week, and then a 2-1 win over Rovers on Sunday definitely helps the situation. It's been a while since they lost a game that I can remember.
And even I have to say, I was very impressed with their second half performance on Sunday. There probably wasn't much between the two teams in the first half, but credit to Tiernan Lynch. He made a change at halftime that I thought had a huge impact. He brought Diallo on and they really started to dominate the ball and the game. Yep. In the second half. And then Grace gets a crazy red card.
Pure stupidity.
Three lads around the Derry man, and he decides to lunge in with the 2 feet and get a second yellow. I don't know what he was thinking there, but even before that, Derry were well on top and the red card just sealed the 3 points for them, really.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, but it was pure brain dead stuff.
Crazy.
From Grace. I don't know what he was at. But yeah, but by and large, I thought it was a good performance. I thought they dominated large parts of the game. That Fleming boy was very good.
Very impressive, yeah.
And I suppose it does show a bit of the miss that Diallo was. I know it's only one game, but at the same time, it was a bit of a pain in the ass for when he did get injured. I think it wasn't it preseason he got injured against Harps. I think in preseason, might be misremembering there, but it was a nightmare anyway. So yeah, to to pull it out of the fire, get the second. Can't really complain too much, can you?
No, not really. I suppose looking ahead to next season, and that's something we'll be doing now in the last few pods of the year, we'll be looking ahead to next year. But can this Derry team get involved in a genuine title race next season? Because look, they're only 3 points behind now, but they have little to no chance of winning the title unless Rovers have one of the biggest collapses of all time. But is this a Derry team that can take a step towards being genuine contenders next season?
Yeah, like there's a lot of, look, same with Anton, there's a lot of ifs and the whole lot, but one concern I would have is the business, obviously, that they do in the window. I know they have signed Michael Duffy onto another contract, but, you know, a lot of the stuff that Derry did well this year, he was fairly a large feature in all of it. Even Diallo's second goal on Sunday, it was great play by him to win back the ball. Pico is just launches himself onto the ground, and Duffy crosses it in. Nice little ball in for Diallo, and he smashes it into the roof of the net. So, you know, we all know that Michael Duffy has the ability, and he's a big feature of that team, but you're kind of hanging your hat on a lot right there. I would say, and also, like, the window last year wasn't great by any stretch of the imagination.
At the start of the season. Yeah, because I was just going to pick up a point you made there about their business in the transfer window. I think the summer window seems to have been a lot more positive. I know he missed a game the other day, but Akinyemi's come in and he's done fairly well, 3 goals in 7 games. You mentioned Fleming, what a great game he had the other day. They seem to have got the summer signings seem to have nearly been as effective as winter signings. I wouldn't use the word flop, but Liam Boyce, I don't think that's really worked. Ferguson's barely played. Like, they were two of the big name signings. I know he played the other day. Robbie Benson, how effective has he been this year? I'm not so sure. I think, and Graham Gartland said it on commentary the other day when they were actually talking about this, whether Derry could get that little bit closer next year. I think they need to just try and get some legs into the team, get that age profile down a little bit and build it around, obviously, Michael Duffy, who's going to have to stay fit and healthy. That would be my concern about Derry. If anything was to happen to Duffy, then they're not going to be anywhere near a title.
Well, that's it. And, like, you know, before ball was kicked this year, we were very concerned about, we'll say, Cork and what would happen if Keating or Maguire were injured. And, you know, what would they be able to do? And it's a similar enough concern I'd have for Derry, yeah, considering how important Michael Duffy is. So I think, was it Rory Higgins' first full season in charge that Michael Duffy got injured? And that was actually, I think the reason I remember that so well is because he absolutely ran Longford Town ragged in a preseason game. It was desperate. But it just goes to show his quality and how much of a miss he can be. But you need to have a bit more, you know, I think anybody that ever utters the word Shamrock Rovers, it's always about a wealth of talent and blah, 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 and the squad and this and that and the other, which is very true. But that's, you know, they've shown over the last few years what you need to be challenging at the top of the table and challenging for a title, that you need not like a massive squad, but definitely a squad that you can go, well, the lads that don't start the games are in and around starting anyway and would probably start for a large number of teams in the Premier Division as it is. So it's going to be interesting that, like, I would say I was very concerned about the Benson signing. I never understood that. And look, I haven't watched every single minute of Derry football this year, but I'm sure a lot of other fans might be asking the same question. So I think Tiernan Lynch has a big job. He's a bit more time, you know, get his bearings and whatever, and get to work in the window, because I think, and there's a final piece on Derry. You know, it was kind of nearly with under Rory Higgins. It was like, you know, we should be closer, we should be this, should be that, I should be the other. And I think for fans, you know, I know it's a different manager and everything, but when is it going to be a proper title challenge?
Yeah.
And
I mean, Duffy's on Tiernan.
Do you know what I mean? But like, you know, Terry.
That's what comes with the job. The resources are there, so
that's what I mean. I know that, but like, he's like, look, it wasn't my fault that it wasn't done before me. You know what I mean? But like, I do agree. It's just a fact of life, and it's a fact of managing a team, as you said, with the resources that they have, and you know, it's a big team up in Derry, and I'm sure it's not an easy team and club to manage either. You know, with a lot of expectation as well. So
yeah.
I think he just has to...
No, but you're right. They need to do it in the next couple of seasons, because Duffy's 31 now, so you need
But you're saying the exact problem. Like, we'll say, oh, what, Duffy's gone and we're fucked. No, that can't be it. That's my exact point.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Like, you know, oh, Duffy's 34, we haven't won a league and he's going to retire. What's going to happen? Like, it can't be that.
I had a great weekend, I have to say, with all these games being spread out. Derry Rovers was Sunday, so watched that while I was at work. Pat's Waterford, I watched that. Sligo Cork, I watched that as well. I was absolutely sick, though, that I didn't get seeing Bows and Shells. That was many people describing it as the game of the season. I know you watched this one.
I was kind of flicking. And I didn't actually realise it was 2-1 at half time. Until I flicked back to it.
I mean, though, we've often used the term Bozy, like Spursy. I mean, this is as Bozy as it gets. 87th minute and 97th minute goals for Shells.
Yeah. And it was really down to, I don't want to say for McEnroy's goal, I don't think it was that much of an individual mistake. But I thought for Harry Wood's equaliser, like, Devoy has to head that away. It's just not a non-negotiable, to be quite honest. But that's the way it goes. It is a right kick in the bollocks for Bowes, there's no doubt about it. You'd have to be asking some questions about, you know, mentality and grit and stuff like that. But I think, you know, as a Bowes hater or a Bowes lover, depending on when you talk to me, probably more Bowes hater than anything else. But you have to look at, you know, mentality and grit and, you know, all of those things that you need to win stuff. Bowes haven't won very much for a long time, and it seems to be something that they're finding very difficult to eradicate out of the club. I know this is only one game, but you know, there was a lot on the line for them, and they didn't manage to get it over the line. Particularly with the games as you mentioned, that they were spread out and everything, they knew what they had to do, and they were very close to doing it, but they just weren't able to hold on to it. And even on McEnroy's goal, as sweet as a strike as it was, I think there was it was Meepo's shot that made it fall to McEnroy, but there was no Bowes player coming out to challenge that follow-up shot.
Can I make a point on McEnroy? We spoke about him quite a bit early in the season, that we were like, well, this lad's catching the eye, you know, because he came from Scotland, not much fanfare about him, and we weren't sure what to expect, and first couple of games we seen him, I remember us talking in early podcasts that, geez, this boy's been really, really good. And maybe we didn't talk about him much then in the middle part of the season, but even I know they had that sickening defeat in Europe the other night, a game they never should have lost out in North Macedonia. But even that night, I thought McEnroy, I was watching him, I was like, geez, this boy is a really, really good player. He's been a cracking signing for Shells.
Yeah, he has. He probably hasn't, we'll say, contributed at the latter end of the field. But that isn't, I don't think that's a fair marker on him either. I think it was a great way for him to close out his season. Like, you know, they've not really to play for much anymore. I know they can technically get into second, but with Derry playing in Cork on Saturday, would say that's a foregone conclusion. But they still need to go and play Pats. So yeah, there is plenty of stuff, and of course they have the rest of Europe to play for as well. So I think, I know there's lots of talk about, like, you know, people starting to think about player of the season or team of the seasons and stuff like that.
Yeah, well, the PFAI one was out today, but we're going to wait until our last pod of the season and do our BTS awards. That's what every player wants and dreams of. So
correct.
We'll get to that in the next few weeks.
Ooh, but would you be thinking about them when you're
there's probably just one or two. That's probably the strongest area of the team, the centre of midfield. Without wanting to give too much away, like,
yeah, you know, you're lots of options.
You're going to be thinking of the likes of Healy there in particular. So
yeah,
might be just one or two in front of him, but. I suppose if you were just doing a short list of central midfielders, then yeah, he'd definitely be on it for me.
Yeah, 100%.
I don't really go over old ground, but maybe it's more for the when we get to the predictions league, because Bose have now put themselves in a real pressure situation, having to go to Drogheda on the last day and win. And we did touch on this last week, but the contract situation there. I mean, if that result doesn't go Bose's way on Saturday, that's going to be a fairly interesting scene in the away end at full time, I would imagine.
Absolutely. You know, look, I don't know about it, but there was a lot of talk about, like, the end of season awards that weren't done on Sunday, which is kind of understandable. You've thrown away a 2-goal lead with a few minutes left in the game, so I can understand why there mightn't have been too much desire amongst players to witness that. But it does, I was like, you know, on one hand, yeah, you can see, you know, get it done, get it sorted. If Europe is nailed on, you know, it gives that certainty and continuity and blah, blah, blah. And you might have got it a bit cheaper, the contract. But obviously, with Europe becoming more a hopeful result of the season rather than, yeah, this is all within our control, it's not great. It does raise a few questions. I know I was kind of positive on it last week. I know I'm doing a bit of flip-flopping here, but would you have major questions about it? Like, it's all grand.
I don't want to go
according to weekly podcast.
I'm kind of like you. Yeah, I'm kind of like you. I'm flip-flopping on it. Like, we did put up both sides of the argument last week. You know, the way the league is now, you need to be forward-thinking and planning and not reactive. And, you know, they'll have targets in mind and you need a manager to lead that. But at the same time, I did think the timing was strange. So, look, it'll be all dished out next week and served up, the proof will be in the pudding whether it was the right decision or not, because if they miss out on Europe, then it's a poor season. Pats won, Waterford won. If we're going to talk about under pressure managers, he's not really under pressure given the contract situation that he has, Stephen Kenny, but his team were booed off on Friday night against Waterford after a 1-1 draw, and then they fielded a fairly strong team in the Leinster Senior Cup on Friday. Now, I know some of these players are maybe players that are on the fringes of the first team and haven't played a whole lot of minutes, and some of them coming back from injuries or suspensions, but I was expecting that to be a flat-out under-20s team that played that final Sunday. And I looked at it and I was like, geez, there's first-teamers in this. And they were beaten by a Dundalk team that wasn't at full strength either. So even something as small as that, I know the Leinster Senior Cup, it's more of a parody these days than anything else, and we'll talk more about the Leinster Senior Cup in a couple of minutes, but I mean, that was maybe a chance for a small silver lining, and even Pats couldn't capitalise on that. It's turning into a really, really desperate season for Pats.
On one hand, well, on every hand actually, yes, but it is, you know, they had some, we'll say, positives at times. They went on a very long unbeaten run in the early or in the middle part of the season, but also they still had 12 draws, which isn't fantastic. I know the teams are still a bit bunched around as well. They're, you know, it's not, the you know, they haven't been blown apart. But at the same time, a couple of really poor results that they managed to chuck in, and like, and definitely in the mindset of an FAI Cup semi-final against a team that's already relegated, to be absolutely torn asunder is not great. But then they followed that up, you know, a week later or whatever it was later, beating Shamrock Rovers. So, you know, it is very mix and gathering. There's no consistency. There's no...
Can you imagine, though, at the end of last season when they went on that amazing run, if I had turned around to you and said, come the penultimate round of games next season, Pats will be level on points with Bowes, and just think where Bowes were at the end of last season, and Drogheda. Now, Drogheda had obviously won the cup, but survived the relegation playoff last season, let's not forget. If I had said to you they were going to be level on points with those two teams going into the last round of league games, you would have thought I was crazy. So,
oh no, absolutely.
We can talk about positive results and moments. You look at it in the overall grand scheme of things, it's been a shocking season for Pats, and if they don't get into Europe, it is an unimaginable failure.
It is a desperate failure. There's no question about that, to be honest, because, like, you know, they've no silver linings. You know,
because I remember at one stage we were talking, I don't know what stage of the cup it was, but we were saying, look, it's been a bad season in the league for Pats, but maybe they can win the cup. And we were saying it kind of just salvaged the season. It wouldn't be a great season. They'd just be rescuing the season by winning the cup.
Yeah.
And then they, as you said, go out to an already relegated team hammered in the semi-finals against Cork. So even that little chance to put some sort of a shine on it, gone, up in flames.
Yeah, just to throw a face on it, it was, you know, thrown away. And there was like a lot of opportunities in the season. But then you look at certain times throughout the year, like, let's say if you just pull up the results there, you know, a period there in June, I'm just looking back on, lose to Shells, lose to Galway, and lose to Derry in the space of a week. Three losses, and then follow that up with two nil all draws against Bowes and Cork. Like, there has been a lot of grim periods of time for Pats this season, when the season held so much hope at the start of the year. Like, the, you know, those types of, you know, win, draws and loss sections in their time, not great reading, and will be more akin to something, or more akin to a form of a team in the lower half of the table. So yeah, it's been I think it has been a poor season. And notwithstanding, if they do manage to squeeze in and qualify for Europe, it'd be a huge achievement. Based on the season that they've had so far, it's just not been good. And as I said, like, the Europe stuff, I know they were well beaten by Besiktas, and there's no shame in that. But there was a couple of, you know, those games against the Estonian side, team that had a couple of boys sent off, or a lad sent off, or, you know, they missed so many chances, and it took a penalty from Aidan Keane to dig that out at home, and they were not a good team. So, like, you know, it was arse of the trousers for a lot of the season, really.
Just looking at that team that played in the Leinster Senior Cup final on Sunday, Rogers was in goals. Sean Hoare, now he's missed a lot of football, but he played. Anto Breslin played. Keen Kavanagh, Carty, Keena, Mulroney, Garrick, Turner, Robinson and Kazim.
Jesus.
And they were beaten by a not full strength Dundalk team.
That's a very strong Pats team.
I fully expected, when I loaded it up, this will be their under-20s, and I couldn't believe the names I was seeing in front of me. You asked the question about Bowes there a couple of minutes ago. Is there an issue there mentality-wise? You would seriously have to question at Pats, is there an issue with mentality? Because they have the squad of players. You were talking earlier about Derry and what they need to do in terms of building the squad, like Rovers. And Pats we thought going into this season had a squad capable of emulating Rovers, and look where they are. So you'd have to seriously ask questions. Is it a mentality problem at St. Pat's?
I think, you know, for some people that would be critical of Stephen Kenny and...
And that camp is growing, by the way, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. Are they a bit more concerned? Like, what's it, the concerns that I'd have about is, like, let's say, not too positive of play that they seem to enjoy doing. You know, passing it back, passing it around, passing here and there, and not really having that killer instinct. I think there are opportunities for Kenny to make some good changes, but I think, like, are we looking at a clear out? You know, a few weeks ago I got hammered for talking about Git, and yeah, I'd be just like, right, well, you know, maybe it's time to do a bit more of a larger refresh. I don't really know what that's going to look like, but I do think that it does need to be some form of larger than normal personnel change, because yeah, and like, even, you know, the way, like, you'd be looking at players are like, oh no, I keep him, oh no, I keep him, I like him, you know, and you look at through all of that, but then you'd be like, well then why are they in the position if I like all these players as individuals but they're still not doing anything on the field that's worthwhile enough? Do you know what I mean? So I think there just needs to be a bit of a change of approach from Kenny, really. That'd be one thing I'd say.
That Leinster Senior Cup final, it became a bit of a farce, really, because Dundalk, of course, got into the final after two byes. I think It was a non-league team pulled out in the quarterfinals, and then Bowes pulled out in the semifinals. I can't understand why they didn't field their 20s team, but anyway. And then I think it was announced Friday night that the game was Sunday. Like 48 hours notice, or maybe it was Saturday even that it was announced, but it got me thinking back, and I said I was going to share this on this week's pod too. Long forgot to the final of the Leinster Senior Cup in 2014.
Right.
And in the semi-finals, we were playing one of the Dublin non-league clubs. I can't remember who it was. Was it Sheriff or someone like that? And we were away from home, and there was actually interest, right, in this game, because like, it's a cup and Longford don't win many cups. So I was running a bus, a full 16-seater or something going up to Dublin, right? Had it full for a couple of days beforehand.
Right.
The game was midweek, I don't know, Tuesday or something like that, right? And next thing...
forgetting the bus going.
Monday comes around, the day before the game. There's no confirmation of where this game is on. We know the game is on and it's in Dublin, but we don't know where. And I have lads ringing me, is the bus running? I said, the bus is running. I just don't know where it's going. I said, get there, get on the bus for 4:30 or 5:00. It's heading in the Dublin direction, and we'll see. So, like, could have been 10 or 11 o'clock that night. Someone eventually texted me and said, it's on X here. It was some Astro pitch somewhere. But that was the night before the game. We didn't know where the game was going to be on. So that was 10 years ago. And it only seems to have become more comical. Was it Shells or Dundalk that was booted out of it a couple of years ago? And then I think that happened to some team this year that got booted out and then they got let back in. And this competition started a year ago.
Yeah.
It takes a full year to complete. Like, it's just...
But who's running this competition?
It's the Leinster FA.
I know, the LFA, yeah. But like, what are they doing? You know what I mean? Like, is it just like all arranged on WhatsApp? It sounds like, you know, a dodgy five-a-side, like, you know, probably everybody has like a group of lads that used to play five-a-side, and you see them on a night out or have a pint with them or whatever. Oh, we get that going again, and you never hear about it again. You know, it's ancient history. As soon as you finish the pint and you're gone.
I wouldn't mind the fact, because in the last couple of years they've actually managed to get a sponsor for the. It's the permanent TSB Leinster Senior Cup, so they've gone out and got a sponsor, which is great.
I guarantee you, that's some bloke in permanent TSB that. Whose father is on the LFA or something like that. You know what I mean? It's
because I don't know if there's any mention of prize money or anything like that. It's just such a strange. I actually like what they've done, the kind of the round robin group stage in pre-season now. I think that's great for the League of Ireland teams. Slightly competitive games in pre-season. I think that's been a good element, a good change to the competition. But maybe there's something to be said for just getting the whole thing played in pre-season.
Yeah, definitely.
Go back to a knockout and just get the whole thing played out in pre-season, because this is beyond a joke.
Yeah, well, I don't know why it needs to be, you know, this much of an ordeal. Like, teams pulling out of it as well. Like, whatever about a non-league team, but like Bo's pulling out.
You know, that's poor.
Yeah, yeah. You know, like, have a bit of manners.
Send really. Out the 15s. Do something.
Yeah, do something. Have a bit of cop on, to be honest. You know, big team in the Premier Division. Like, just don't be an arsehole about it. Yeah, I don't really see the point. I don't really know. Like, some on one hand, like,
do you think it should be scrapped?
Yeah. I know some managers like it because you get to do try. I think you can play try lists and stuff in it and all of that. But like.
The only thing without it, and we spoke about it before, about I think it was a goalkeeper at Longford, and he wasn't getting any game time, and we were like, there's very few opportunities now because the League Cup's gone.
Yeah,
I think we were out of the Leinster Senior Cup at this stage when me and you were having this conversation. We're like, there's no games for this lad to play in. So that's the only thing. It is a good competition, you said, for young players and trialists and whatever else, but if that's taken away, there's very few opportunities during the year to get players minutes. So
but like, you know, is anybody looking for the League Cup to be reinstated?
There doesn't seem to be much appetite for it, does there?
No, because like, you know, on the other hand, I know we're going off into a mad tangent here, but on one hand, we're looking for to spread out the rest of the season, you know, to make the off season not as long as everywhere else. So are we having too many games in a short space of time? If we spread it out, it'll be more, you know.
I know in Scotland, the League Cup starts in pre-season. So again, could the Leinster Senior Cup or the League Cup bring the League Cup back and use it as a pre-season competition? Could be an option.
Well, definitely. Well, like, let's say if you do, you know, if you add a bit of guts to it, like, and you get a sponsor, which is easier said than done.
Mm.
You know, and it doesn't have to be major prize money to it, but there has to be something. And you know, you have it as a cup that will say is all said and done by the mid-season. Yeah,
like the Scottish League Cup semi-finals, I think, are this weekend, if I'm not wrong.
Oh, right, okay. So, like, you know, it's definitely done in the first quarter of the season.
Yeah.
Most of my idea of doing it by the summer break. But then, you know, Europe and this and that and the other, and we have to have buys and holidays and all the rest of it, too. So, it's a tough one. But I think the Leinster Senior Cup and that isn't ideal.
No. We'll be talking more about Dundalk later on. Galway 1, Drogheda 1. Probably a result that didn't do either team massive favours in the end.
No, not at all. Like, it was a decent result for Galway, obviously, but doesn't really help Manny. Doesn't pull Galway away from the shit below them, and it doesn't drag Drogheda any further up. I think there'll be, you know, Drogheda particularly going 1-0 up down in AMDC Park probably will be disappointed from conceding, what, like 5 minutes later or something like that.
I feel like there's been a lot of that talk about drop of the season, even talking to Kevin Doherty a lot this year after matches. There seems to be a lot of points they've left behind and games they let get away. I suppose they don't score a massive amount of goals, so when they're not putting teams totally to one side, I suppose they're always vulnerable to that. Like, 37 goals scored in 35 games will indicate that. They've only conceded 34, but it has a very kind of Galway last year feel about it.
Yeah. Well, and not only that, but like, even, you know, when Drogheda weren't doing so well last year in the league, we were taught a big thing from Kevin was like hanging into games.
Yeah.
You know, so they're getting it done to them because they're having a better season this year. And the fact that they're not scoring as many goals, as you mentioned just there, you know, it's nearly 1-1 goals conceded and scored. So it's not, you know, you're going to have those types of results across the year. But like, you know, there was definitely opportunities that they let slip by that would have put them into a bit stronger of a position.
Look, if you had said to them at the start of the year, you're going to go into the last day of the season and it's kind of in your hands. I know it's not. They could win on the last day and still not finish in the top four, which would be,
yeah.
It'd nearly be poetic in a way, given everything that's happened. It'd just be another kick in the stones for them.
Well, you see, the only thing that they have to worry about is Pats. So yeah. They just have to hope Shells bit the piss out of Pats, which is very, very possible, particularly with the run that Shells are on at the minute.
We said it didn't do either team massive favours, but Galway, I suppose, the only thing now is if all they have to do is avoid defeat in the last game, and they're safe. So, yeah, the show goes on. Sligo Rovers 1, Cork City 1. I watched this on the Saturday night, or whatever night it was, Saturday night, I think.
Yeah.
And I know our friend Ethan was watching as well. He was texting me after. He was very, very critical of the standard of this game. Now, it was a dreadful night weather-wise, and the pitch in the showgrounds, it's one of them pitches, anytime you see it, it looks great at the start of the game, and it doesn't take long to start cutting up. And it became very, very chopped up now in the conditions the other night. So I enjoyed it. I thought it was a good game, even though there wasn't massive amount of chances. I thought there was still a fairly end-to-end field about it. Both teams were going at it, which was good, particularly given the Cork are already relegated. But it's a huge, huge missed opportunity for Sligo. A win here, and they were pretty much guaranteed safety.
Yeah, pretty much. Particularly, you know, they knew the result from the night before, so like, you know, they had it all in their own hands, and yeah, it's just a really disappointing result for them. Like, I know it's in their own hands, and particularly when you look at it across the season and the season that they've had, you know, they've had a lot of bright points, you know, green shoots, but like, as you like to say, where they just fall stones, because like, it's still within the realms of possibility that Waterford beat Galway on the final day, and Sligo have to go to Talla.
Sligo will be hoping that it's done tomorrow night.
Yeah, well, look, I think it will be done tomorrow night. I don't see Galway taking that in more than a point from them. That's all Rovers need. So, but then again, you know, Rovers have a cup final to be looking forward to. There's not going to be that much time for thinking about the beach, and you know, the cup final's only a week later after Saturday. So, you know, it's not, you know, and on top of that, sorry, you know, Rovers still have to try and do something in Europe. So there isn't really much time for, you know, they'll enjoy it or whatever on Wednesday. But like, yeah, I'm not really positive that Shamrock Rovers would be doing anybody any favours in particular. So yeah, it was a huge missed opportunity for Sligo. You know, you have to be putting, you know, when your own status in the division is on the line, you have to beat the team that has lost their status. So yeah, poor result for them. Good to see Elding on the score sheet again, though.
Yeah. Right, just before we started recording, the second leg of the playoff semi-finals took place, and off the back of those semi-finals, we now know the first division playoff final will be Bray Wanderers against Treaty United. Bray Wanderers 1-0 winners in the first leg last week, a very late goal in that one, and then there were 3-2 winners tonight in their home leg. Cove Ramblers drew 1-1 tonight with Treaty, but Treaty United 1-0 winners in Cove last week. So it looks like all the chaos there at St. Coleman's Park did go against Cove in the end.
Yeah, to a degree. I watched most of that. I really was not impressed with Cove. Throughout the game, I thought there was no real link up. It definitely seemed like a team that weren't very cohesive, you know, when they went for lunch this afternoon, you know, that type of thing. Like, it didn't seem like they were a team that could actually qualify and beat Treaty. I know they did very well to pull out the equaliser in the 92nd minute or whatever it was. But I felt, and even from the first kick in extra time, Treaty went straight on the attack. It seemed like Treaty were in for the slog, as opposed to Cove just thinking it was going to happen without them dying for it, to be honest. And I saw a lot of the stuff that I was critical of when they played Longford a few weeks ago. You know, there was an
op- Yeah, I haven't been impressed with them for a couple of a long months time. Now, to be honest.
But I
made the point there, look, the whole Mick McDermott thing might have counted against them, but I kind of wasn't that surprised that Treaty beat them, to be honest. Now, I know I said a few weeks ago Treaty qualifying for the playoffs was probably going to be the height of it. I don't think they'll be promoted, put it that way, but they probably met Cove at a good time. But even without the Mick McDermott situation, I wouldn't have been massively surprised if Treaty had beaten Cove. I think Cove just, as I said a few weeks ago, just something missing, and I couldn't really put my finger on it, but there was just something missing there.
Yeah, well, that's exactly it. And I know I'm talking about the Town game, but like, there was something on the line that night in Longford. There was something on the line here, big time, obviously playoffs. And they didn't step up to it in either occasion. Like, it seems to be like very individual. I thought some of their passing was poor. It wasn't clicking, and you could really feel it not clicking. So fair play to Treaty. They were full value for it.
Have they any chance against Bray? I had flagged up UCD as the underdogs for the playoffs, and they go out with the first hurdle, unfortunately. So Bray will be most people's favourites now, I'd imagine, for the playoff final. Do you give Treaty any chance against them?
I do. You know, it's getting down to the major situation here for Treaty. So, yeah, why can't they do it? One thing I would be, which would go against them, apart from Bray having a very successful season, you know, Bray did it last year.
Yeah, that could be big.
Which would be definitely helpful. Particularly, that was a great game in Daly Mount last year against Athlone, where Athlone shit the togs. I've continued to do so up to this point. But yeah, I think that would be something very positive to have in your camp going into it. But look, why can't it happen? The game's on Sunday in Athlone. Best luck to Anthony. He's going to be streaming it.
That's a poor choice of venue. I'm sorry. That's really poor for a playoff final.
Yeah. Yeah.
That pitch is terrible.
Yeah, I don't think it should be happening on an Astro pitch.
Suits Bray.
Suits Bray. But, you know,
like, Jesus, if you're bringing it that low, what was wrong with Longford?
Yeah. Well, I have enough of streaming for the minute. but what was wrong with Longford? What was wrong with, you know, Richmond has featured in a few of them.
There's a game there Friday, so look, got to let the pitch rest. But
oh no, I understand that.
Saturday, so definitely need to let the pitch rest.
But like last year, it shouldn't have been a Daly Mount last year either. You know, like that we'll say Daly Mount should only be used for Bowes games that have to be played there. Like, that pitch is a disgrace as well. So, you know, there's plenty of other pitches that are far better than any AstroTurf pitch in the country or a place like Daly Mount either. So, yeah, I'm not mad about that, but hopefully it's a good game.
Right, before we move on to the predictions league, I suppose the last kind of thing, first division wise, we need to talk about is Dundalk.
Oh yes, your favourite topic. Well, where do you want to start? Correspondent from Dundalk.
Yeah, I don't know where to start. It's so messy at the minute. Like, there's so many statements to start with. That I might start there in a minute. So many different statements from different groups and different people. You've got so many rumours doing the rounds online. We've always said it about Dundalk being a great town for rumours. I mean, this week is just in complete overdrive on that front. There's, you know, talk about the licensing situation, the facilities. It's just one big, massive mess at the minute. But I really don't know. Even today, then there was the story in the paper that Kieran Kilduff, that Waterford could be potentially looking at him as a possible option. I just have to say, I suppose, really, is that I feel massively sorry for the players. They should probably still be on the piss enjoying the First Division success and winning the Leinster Senior the other day. And instead, what they're doing and what they've been subjected to is having to read all of this online. This has all been played out in the public forum. The amount of airing of dirty laundry in public is absolutely crazy. They really need to get a hold of that. Like, there's way too much been played out in public here.
Well, the first thing, and you mentioned at the very start of your bit there, the number of statements from people, semi-connected, not connected, you know, in and around Dundalk, like, you know, I said the Roma is going to put out a statement at the minute, you know, like, who's next, you know, what's that place, Brewbakers, you know, they're going to put out a statement as well.
Good local knowledge.
But do you know what I'm saying? Like, who's going to put out a statement next? Like, Dundalk haven't put out a statement. John Temple had an interview type situation. I wouldn't necessarily call it an interview, but he had a few bits to say in front of a camera last week.
That was before it all blew up.
But how before? Like, there was definitely...
That was about 24 hours before.
There was rumblings before that. It's definitely unfortunate. Like,
it all starts with the 1903 statement. The email that went out asking to take a vote of no confidence in John Temple.
Yeah, but I seen the
email. This is crazy. You cannot put out a vote of no confidence like that without giving clear facts and reasoning why you're doing this. What's the reason? What's the concerns? People had no idea what they were voting on there. And secondly of all, for people to go on about transparency and we want the club to be ran transparently, it's amazing the results of that poll have never been released.
What poll was that? But you see,
they had no business putting that out, and they didn't even consult their members on it. That's done serious damage. The amount of people I've seen online saying they're cancelling their 1903 membership over that is insane, and I don't blame people for doing that, because if I was a member there and that's done without consulting the membership, I think that's absolutely crazy. But that started it. Then they had a statement out the next morning. There's obviously talk of they've been called the American investors, but they're actually Irish, but American, Irish, whatever, live in America. Donald Green had a statement out last night then as well. There's just, as I said, this is way too public.
Yeah, it's way too public, but where is this thing coming from? This main character stuff about I'm putting out statements.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I'd say, you know, whatever, 1903.
Not the first time they've done that, by the way. We criticised them on the pod earlier in the year for, I can't even remember what statement it was, but they put a statement out earlier in the year.
What were they saying then?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, but it was more like, you know, bullshit. A bunch of lads sitting around or in a WhatsApp group going, oh, this is terrible, I don't like this, I'm going to do something. And, I think some supporters group in Derry had a statement out. What are you doing? Like, it's bullshit. Like, you know, and you said, I think we need a statement.
I think the Sligo one was the worst. The Bitter Red Trust was the worst one this season, with the referee. Remember that one?
Oh.
We need to keep a league table next season of fan group statements.
Yeah, we do. Yeah. And, like, you know,
get a little trophy made for them at the end of the year.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, we get a slab of cans for them. It's dire. But bringing it home to Dundalk, we'll say, and to be fair, the club is great at putting out bollocks on their own social media channels as well. So maybe it's something in the water in Dundalk. But it's like statements. This lad said this, that lad said this. Like, it's very, you know, I don't know what you'd describe it, like, you know, secondary school stuff, or he said, she said, and a teacher. And you know, nothing else is coming out, like nothing concrete, bar, you know, a couple of media articles. Oh, it's not great, and you know, we have the money here, and we don't have the money, and we have a contract signed, and we're signing a contract next week. And just on the contract thing, like for the new pitch or the new lights or whatever, it's weird the way the contract's been signed. It's like there's just like a gaggle of men with diggers and whatever, ready to go, just waiting, waking up, checking their phone every 5 minutes to see if this contract has been signed so they can go off and do their work. Like, you know, don't know much about installing. I don't know much about Anthony, but I don't know much about, you know, digging out an AstroTurf pitch and putting in a fresh one. I know you can use the concrete that's there, blah, blah, blah. But, like, I'm sure it's not that handy of a job.
Mm.
And I know Bray didn't get theirs done in time, so they had to play a few away games to start off their season this year. You know, will it be a case of that again? Most probably. And that's if they get it done at all. I think the stuff about the pitch, and I know you said it before, the old NCT on the pitch, it does pass. Isn't that what you said to me?
But I think there's media reports out there this week that it hasn't passed this time.
Ah. That's not good.
No.
That's not ideal. But yeah, and look, there's a lot of stuff that you need to get a Premier Division license. Yeah, it's awkward now. I do think though, you know, I like the stuff about isn't it the Casey family that from up around there that owns the pitch and has leased it out to Dundalk and all of that stuff. Like that's been used. I've been hearing about that for the last 5 or 6 years or longer. You know, oh, we couldn't possibly sweep the floor because we don't own this place. We couldn't possibly sort out the toilets, or we couldn't possibly do this or fix a few seats or anything. Do you know what I mean? Like that type of mentality, it needs to be driven out of the club to begin with. Because you're going to get into a situation where it's like, you know, an Aki Momo every year. Do you know what I mean? And when are they going to get a handle on it? Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's not great for the fans or anything like that, but yeah, it's just tiresome.
They just need to get a sword, whatever.
They need to get sorted, but you know what? It probably will get sorted. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'd say, you know, if John Temple needs to go or decides he has to go by himself, whatever way that all shakes out, it'll probably happen positively enough. And everybody will be like, oh, that was great. We had a sticky situation there 12 months ago, and now we're probably relegated out of the Premier Division again. But
I think the Dolphins would just be happy now if they knew that they're going to play Premier Division football next season.
Imagine now, oh God, the league department having to go. Who goes where?
Yeah.
If they don't get a Premier Division license.
I can't remember the last time a team were denied a license, to be honest. It's been a while.
Probably Dundalk. Back in 04.
I don't think so.
In the meantime?
Sure. There's definitely been more recent ones than that.
A team that got promoted didn't get a license for the Premier Division.
We'll have to look back on that. But what was I going to say on that? We keep getting to this situation almost like yearly now with Dundalk. The amount of changes of ownership, the amount of uncertainty, the amount of always the club going to be here tomorrow. You'd wonder, would the fans not get together there? And like we're saying this, how long about?
But just exactly on the fans, we have an example of, you know, dedicated enough people who've decided to create a separate supporters group, who then go off and on a solo run, emailing all their members, be like, John Temple, here's a no confidence vote. We're not telling you a thing about it or the basis for any of this. Let us know what you think. Those are the types of people that you're asking to include here.
Yeah. There's probably no easy answer to it, but like, I'd rather, the way it's going now, I'd rather have it in my own hands than...
Yeah, no, I know that, but that's not that handy either. We've seen that many times before. Cork or whoever.
Yeah, so. But look, Sligo and Bowes were able to do it, so why couldn't Dundalk?
Yeah, no, I don't dispute that. But like we'll say, Sligo would be one of the lower budgets in the entire division.
And I think that's the problem at the minute. Like, the expectation for success there is so... I don't think people would be happy with, oh, right, we're going to own the club, but we're not going to compete for a title for the next 20 years.
Oh, no, no one wants that. No one wants that. So, you know, you go to the next lad.
Yeah.
The next bloke that shows up, I'll buy you. And, you know, there's a lot of talk, we'll say, about Dermot Usher down in Cork, where promised the moon and the stars... Well, he didn't promise, but you can't promise that. But, you know, he's getting under a lot of heat because of what you said was going to happen. Football's not that handy. And I know they've had their second relegation in 3 seasons, which isn't ideal. But at the same time, it's very hard to get into that Premier Division and stay in it. Look at Waterford and Galway, two teams that were promoted in the last couple of years, and you know, it's very likely one of them will be out of it come Saturday. So, yeah, it's very difficult. It's just not that handy, and you can say, yeah, we'll try and do this and that and the other, but Rory Keating getting injured, that's just one thing that'll really do damage to your existence in the Premier Division after getting promoted.
Right, look, by the time this goes out, there'll probably someone else have released a statement, and this will be old content. So we'll move on, and let's just hope Dundalk get sorted and are playing Premier Division football next season. Right, Gary, time for one of the final BTS LOI podcast predictions leagues of the season. Last week we were joined by Oisin, a Shamrock Rovers fan. Wasn't a great performance from any of us last week. He got 5 points, you got 4 points, I got 4 points. So I suppose well done to Oisin, he was the top player last week. Brings the listeners to a tally of 213 points for the season. You're second on 192 and I'm bottom on 189. So you're a bit like Derry, I think. You're within touching distance, but you need a good old swing in the goal difference to have any chance.
I do indeed.
This is the last round of league games, obviously, and we are going to include that game on Wednesday night, Rovers against Galway. We're joined this week by Kieran O'Kay, a Treaty United fan who tweeted us his predictions at half time in the game tonight. So I thought it was only fitting we include him. That's dedication to the podcast for you. Rovers against Galway is where we'll start. Is this the night that Rovers finally wrap up that title?
Yeah, I think it is. I'm going to go 2-0 here. I don't think Galway have a prayer. Get it done. Move on to the next for Rovers. They've been huffing and puffing at it for the last few weeks. I think that was their great chance for them to do so.
I actually forgot to write down Kieran's prediction. I may have it up for here, but I'm going to go for a 1-0 win to Shamrock Rovers. I'm not sure it'll be overly pretty, but I wouldn't be surprised a late goal to win it for them.
Yeah, I agree.
Kieran going 1-1. That would be enough for Rovers, of course.
Would be enough. I can see Gaffney scoring the winner.
That'd be a nice way to win it.
Yeah.
He deserves it. Drogheda against Bowes. I was supposed to be going to this on Saturday, but I've got commentary duties now ahead of me, but this should be some atmosphere.
Should.
After what happened to Bowes against Shells, can they pick themselves up for this?
No.
I'm not sure they can.
No, it goes back to the mentality thing.
Yeah.
If I was Kevin, and also if I knew anything about managing a football team, I'd be definitely going, I'd be absolutely hammering into the lads about... These boys are soft. These lads are fragile. They won't be able for it to get in their faces. Even if you don't have a great game yourself, I don't think Bowes will be able to do what they need to do to make this European shout reality. I'm going to say, and we're all, sorry, just a final point on that. We're all just assuming that Shamrock Rovers are going to fill in Cork in the Aviva on Sunday week. Is there anybody that thinks that that's not going to happen, bar Cork fans? Because like this whole conversation is predicated on the fact that
Cork is
going to, and like that was the idea. Like even if you look back in the like the commentary was like, oh, that's it for Bulls in Europe, and you know that's the whole thing. But this is all just like, ah, Rovers are going to win the cup.
I suppose the league form of Rovers recently would give you concern, and they will be coming back from Athens as well. But like, do they just throw their arse at the game in Athens and win the double?
That's what I do. We were talking about Bose there sending the under-15s to the Leinster Senior Cup. I'd send the under-15s for Shamrock Rovers to Athens. I was like, or not show up at all. The double is definitely the thing. And we've been talking about it for years, to be fair.
Yeah.
Where that's probably the thing that has done the most damage football-wise to Stephen Bradley, I'd say. The fact that they could never get it together on two fronts domestically. He's done it this year. I know we'll be talking about it in the hole, and maybe we'll be talking about it after the cup final, but if it does come to pass, it's a really unbelievable response to missing out on anything last year.
True.
There is, you know, one of our close friends wouldn't be a big fan of Bradley. But he has proven it this year. There's no question.
Right. That's for another time. Drogs, yeah. Opposed.
Bring it back, guys. I'm going to go 1-0 to Drogheda.
Okay. Kieran's going 2-1 to Drogheda. And the other Kieran, me, I'm going to go for a draw, which wouldn't be any use to Drogheda. Well, if Pat's lost, am I right there?
Yeah. Yeah. But what we're both saying in reality is that we don't think either team, or sorry, we don't think Drogheda or Bowes even will do anything. That's the bottom line. Like a draw, you know, they had to win for Sunday. They didn't do it. They have to win now to have a prayer. None of us are confident that that's going to happen.
Well, look, a draw might be enough if Pats lose. I will go to the next one.
Chelsea, yeah, but if Mianti had Stones, you know what I mean? Like, you have to, it's in front of you. You have to do as much as you can yourself.
Yeah.
You know, a draw might be okay, and then rolling the phones, checking to see what's going on.
Well, even a win for Bowes might be enough if Pats win.
So. That's what I mean. But you still, all Bowes can do is win their own bloody game. They can't be going, draw might be okay. You know what are you talking about?
Well, it might be because I'm about to go into this next game. I have zero faith in Pats, regardless of whether Shells have third wrapped up. I have no faith in Pats.
No, not right. And it's probably, you know, is there that much hatred there? Does any Dublin derby have much of a hatred for Pats? You know what I mean? Like you know, Bulls Rovers, yeah. Rovers Shells, yeah. Shells, Rovers, yeah. You know, they're all, you know, spicy. But I don't ever see one with Pats in it.
I've gone to a Bulls Pats game. It was fairly spicy enough, no?
When was that?
Years ago, the time that I was supposed to go to Tala and end up going to Richmond by accident.
That's that's a good 10 years ago, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
That was iconic. Yeah. That was insanely bad. I was at Pats and Rovers, or Pats and Bowes in Richmond.
Well, Bowes Pats was a cup final a couple of years ago, of course.
Yeah, but we all knew what was going to happen there.
Well, I know what's going to happen here. I'm going for a 3-0 win to Shells. I'm going to fill Pats in.
Ha! Yeah.
Them off, put them out of misery. Yeah.
Okay, I'll go for a 2-1 win to Shells.
And Kieran, let's see what he's going for here. He's going for a 1-0 win to Shell. So we're all thinking along the same lines there. Cork City against Derry City. Cork will have their eyes on the cup final. Maybe Derry, if they rack up a bit of a goal difference, who knows what could happen here. But you'd expect Derry to win this and wrap up second spot.
Yeah, definitely. Jesus, it'd be a real shite way to end the season, though, wouldn't it? For Derry.
Yeah.
You know, even with whatever wrapped up or this or that or the other, I know obviously they need to get a point out of it. But I'll go 2-0 to Derry.
I was going to go 2-0 as well, but I'll go 3 just to be different. Kieran going for a 2-0 win to Derry as well. Shamrock Rovers against Sligo Rovers. Sligo Rovers will be very much hoping that Shamrock Rovers have nothing to play for here and are resting players for the cup final.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they just need to go. I really don't see it though. Like Sligo Rovers and Talla,
I think they'll get something out of it.
Do you?
Gonna go one more.
I don't know. I just don't really see it, to be quite honest. Even a point, I'm sorry to say, for Sligo. I'll go 1-0 to Shamrock Rovers.
Okay, and that leaves us with Waterford against Galway. What a game.
What did Kieran go there?
He's going 1-1 as well.
All right.
And the last should be Waterford Galway.
Straight shootout. Kind of similar to Treaty and Wexford in the first division. Except there's a lot more to lose.
Yeah. Credit to Matt Lawler. He's got another response out of Waterford since going in there. 4 points in his first couple of games.
Yeah. I think Waterford... Jesus. I think he'll be able to get another tune out of them. I'm going to go 2-1 to Waterford. I'm on to score. I actually saw him in a petrol station on the way up to... When he's on his way up to...
And
Richmond
you didn't
Park
ask him on the pod?
No, I didn't. I saw him in the Jack, so I didn't really want to have that conversation there.
I don't know what it is. I have a funny feeling for Waterford as well, but that would mean having to go against my prediction from the last number of months that Waterford would finish 9th.
Well, God direct you.
No, Galway get a point, 1-1.
Fair enough.
And Kieran going for...
Well, actually, just on that... They might just need a point. If they get a point on thing.
Yep. Well, they only need a point anyway, even if they lose to Rovers, unless the goal, what we would, just looking at the goal difference here.
Oh, I suppose, yeah. So no matter
fine,
what
they're fine goal difference wise, so.
Yeah.
Okay. They just need a point from their last two games, really. Or sorry, like a point.
Yeah, a point
out of a point out of Waterford game is all they need.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they'll get a point. Galway 1-1. Kieran going 2-1 to Waterford there.
Yeah, I'm going 2-1 to Waterford.
Yeah, okay. Right, that's the predictions league.
What about the playoff final?
Oh yeah, I suppose we'll sure can, because Kieran, we can't, you know, we can't
Fuck
ask
up.
Him. How do you think that playoff final will go?
Is it a bridge too far? Can't be said that shit now, guys.
I think it will be a bridge too far for Treaty.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be a massive shock, though.
No, it wouldn't. No. I'm going to go...
It'd be a massive, massive shock if they won the actual playoff game, but...
Oh, yeah. I'm going to go...
I'm not including this in the predictions league anyway, so it doesn't really matter.
Okay, then I'll say something crazy. 4-3 to Bray. Give me a bonus point for that, then.
Yeah, I'll go something similar. Right, let's get to the hotline before we go. And it's a packed hotline this week, which is good to see. Let me just get to it. Here we go. Sam, Waterford fan, what opposition player were you most impressed with at Bishopsgate this season? Not necessarily the best player overall in the league, but the best in a one-off game this year. Good question.
We were both impressed at Raggett.
Were we?
We were.
I was very impressed with Billy O'Neill when he scored the two goals in Longford.
Yeah, he was very good.
Speaking of statements, that Bray statement last week about OTT.
What was that about?
About Billy O'Neill's red card not being.
Jesus, bullshit. Yeah, God help us.
I can't remember all the bloody statements.
We need to keep a statement, league table.
Yeah, we do.
No, Billy O'Neill for me. Very impressed with him.
Yeah, that's true. And he has done it all year long. Who else is very good?
The chap for Wexford that night that tore us asunder out on the wing.
Yeah, very good. I thought Sean Brennan was good. We saw him probably a few more times.
Yeah, glimpses, really. I didn't.
Yeah, no, he's good, very good at what he's on the pitch to do.
He's very good in that game against UCD.
Have to agree with you with Billy O'Neill. I know it's an easy one to say.
I've seen people saying on that first leg that it was strange. I heard the commentator saying that it was strange to see a UCD team been outpossessed. And Brendan was a huge part of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, Billy O'Neill for us, yeah. I think Dwayne, Shell's league games under Joey O'Brien, 13 games, 8 wins, 4 draws, 1 loss. Discuss, by the way, how good was Sunday evening? I think we gave Joey his props last week on the pod. We've been very impressed with the job he's done. Now, as I said last week, in Europe was hugely disappointing. There's no way they should have been losing that game. But in terms of what he's done in the league, to have them guaranteed European football with a game to spare, that's brilliant stuff from Joey O'Brien.
Sensational. He's done a huge job. And we talked about it last week with the pressure that he would have been under. Would have been huge, but he's nestled into that position and he's done extremely well. Some strike from McEnroy,
brilliant.
I was here roaring at the telly like, oh bang, just class.
I see quite a few bottles getting chucked away. That wasn't very green of the Bulls fans, was it?
No, a few boys chirping up at us about that.
I'll actually read out the Spotify comment from last week. Let me just get it up here.
Oh, this little soliloquy, wasn't it?
What was the comment you made last week about, if Bulls qualify for Europe, it won't really fit with their green ethos. But that really rattled one of our listeners last week, Mark Finnegan. FFS lads, green morals, ? You painted every single Bulls fan with that lazy statement. Unless you've spoken to every one of them, you couldn't possibly know their individual morals, greens or otherwise. You can do better, fellas. On Reynolds' contract, regardless of where they finish, the team has improved this season. They are going in the right direction. Bradley took 4 years to win anything. Duff took 3. Reynolds has been there 18 months. In that context, the new contract made sense. So that's actually a very, very reasonable comment there from Mark. Mark, as we've discussed a few times on this podcast, sometimes people do get a little bit too wound up by some of the stuff we say. We are genuinely only coming on here for a bit of a laugh, a bit of crack, and to talk shite for a couple of hours, and people seem to enjoy it. Otherwise, we wouldn't still be here 9 seasons in. But don't take anything too close to heart, because generally we're just having a laugh most of the time.
Oh, no, yeah, that's fair enough. But they shouldn't have been throwing bottles. It should have been recycled properly. Shanae.
We know not all Bulls fans are hemp wearing, vegan eating, whatever else, but it's funny to say it sometimes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Gate was Gaz out cheering Bradzer in the marathon.
I was in my arse. I made the mistake of leaving the gaff on Sunday, and it was a nightmare trying to get back to the place, because I decided, do you know what? I'll go and get a coffee. Even though I have a machine that does it perfectly. I was like, get out of the house. Cost of living crisis, me hole. And went out and got a coffee. And then to get back to where I live was just chaos. Driving around like an eagle. Couldn't get near the gaff. I missed like 20 minutes of the Rovers Derry game.
That's what you get for living in the big smoke, my friend.
Yep. Jackass.
Ronan McCarthy, I can't pretend I enjoy it, I do, but it's also so disappointing to be having conversations about backdoor promotion and relegation on technicalities due to Dundalk's financial instability. Should have been consequences earlier, especially after all the progress the League of Ireland has made generally over the past few years. This shouldn't be a thing anymore. Fair comment.
I don't dispute that at all. I think, though, and I know we've been saying it for years about like looking into the finances, but like most of the clubs in the Premier Division are losing their hole on a regular basis. That's been put in or, you know, made up by a benefactor of some description. You know, and maybe, I'd say Rovers getting into Europe a couple of years in a row, that has definitely filled in a few gaps that might have occurred. Shells are getting money pumped in, Derry, you name it. Most clubs are living outside of their means. And it's not, I don't think it's fair to say by any stretch that we should be beyond this. I don't think we are. And until, like, we're going to need to go like 25 years without a club going to the wall for us to be out of that kind of frame of mind.
Mm.
Like, what was it, 2012 that Monaghan went?
Yeah.
And there was a lot of clubs before that. Sporting Fingal, Dublin City,
Kilkenny,
Kildare County.
Mm.
You know, any number of teams down through the years. Now, we have gotten a lot better, but it's kind of gone a bit silly at the same time.
Yeah, you know, and I said it to you when we were talking about something recently. I have this fear that there could be a reset coming in the next 2 years. There's definitely teams, particularly in the first division, spending a lot of money.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, how sustainable is that in the long term?
Well, that's exactly it. Like, how can, you know, if you're not, you're spending a bag of money and it's not really working out, you know, it kind of goes back to the same thing when we were talking about the Ainscough year in Dundalk, and people were going on about, like, you know, what are the FAI doing about this? Like, you know what I mean? Are they not checking if a lad has money? Like, the owner can just go, I'm not doing it. Goodbye. That's it. He can just transfer all the money into a shredder. I'm not spending the money on this club. So it's not just that handy to go, oh yeah, you know, put it at the door of the FAI. They'd actually be one of the last groups of people that I'd include in that conversation, to be quite honest. I know they have to do their due diligence and, you know, make sure that the person isn't a complete head case. But like, as regards the finances of it, do you know what I mean? What are you going to ask them? Oh, buy a club, you have to lodge, you know, 500 grand into an FAI escrow account to, you know, in case shit happens.
Mm.
You know, that's not realistic. I think one thing that I always felt about the Dundalk thing, and I know we talked about Dundalk earlier, but I didn't mention it. Why? It seemed to all just go away. All the revenue issues, you know, the settlements, the this and that, the pitch, the lights and blah, blah, blah. You know, come February, that was all old hat. That was all irrelevant. There was no one talking about that. And it was just like, you know, this, you know, something that I've been critical about in the last few weeks. Oh, my God. People going on as if Dundalk shouldn't have been pissing the league. As if it's like, you know, an unbelievable Leicester City in the Premier League 10 years ago job. They had the highest budget in the division. Go figure. Crazy. Mm-hmm. But the point about that is, like, there's no what went on in the interim. You know, why is the pitch not sorted? Why are you only signing the contract now? These things weren't resolved. And, you know, pissing away a heap of money on a team to get immediately promoted again is grand, but they still haven't resolved anything around Oriel Park and the requirements that they need to fulfill to get that over the line.
Good tweet.
And now we're talking.
Yeah, good tweet. I agree. Christopher Miles, Drogheda for Europe, discuss.
That's not a question. Yeah, you can't just a statement, discuss. Yeah, if they beat the piss out of Bowes and Shamrock Rovers win the FAI Cup and Shelby Pats, then they'll be in Europe.
A lot of ifs there.
Yeah.
Look, I think everyone from a neutral perspective wants to see Drogheda get into Europe after what happened to them, but
yeah, but also like that's terrible and that's sad and the rest of it. But like, you know, it wasn't an unknown that what they'd have to do. Like Chiavella have to shoulder all the responsibility. And look, there's no point in dragging up that either. You know, it was all just vibes that, oh yeah, it'd be great to get the, if they went back in.
Dr. Orla McDevitt Petrovic, final home match of the season at the Brandywell yesterday was perfect. Beat big rivals, magic atmosphere, Europe secured, the only way is up. Yeah, and you touched on it, Gary. There was times this year where we looked at the Brandywell, a bit flat, lots of empty seats. So it was good to see that on Sunday, and hopefully they can carry that into next season. Aina, we need an in-depth tier list review of all away day kebabs. Munch Mix has got to be top shortly. Surely. Wouldn't take long to do a list of places. Munch Mix got very high praise last week.
Yeah, Mr. Health and Fitness here. We say, what are you talking about? I don't like kebabs. We'll fix that. Actually had a kebab today for lunch. There you go. I do it in my private life as well.
For lunch?
Yeah, yeah. I went mad. I just saw it. Yeah, yeah. One of the lads, I had one, and I was like, oh, lad, you're dead right. Give it to me. Munch Mix is up there, but do you know what? Both of us are big fans of that place in Ballybuffet.
Yes, very good.
Yeah, very nice. So yeah, I think that'll be up there as well. Look, I'll just have to drag that spot on the pod up on my own back, carry it as I do the rest of the podcast.
Rebel Army 84, since you're based in Dundalk, what's actually going on at the club? That statement from Donald Green this evening suggests the club is in serious trouble. The rumours were they might struggle to get a Premier licence, but is the situation worse than that? Look, we probably didn't really go into earlier like what exactly is going on, because we'd be totally bluffing if we did. No one knows what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
That's the long and short of it. There's people that have an opinion of the owner, positive or negative. There's people that have an opinion on the investors, positive or negative. There's a lot of people talking that have no idea what's going on. They're just letting their own opinion cloud it. They're reading rumors. No one really knows what's going on. I'm sure it'll all come out in the wash this week. So I can't really add much more than that, really. But just to reiterate what I said earlier, the airing of dirty laundry in public really, really needs to stop. Dylan Farrell says Drogs will get fourth.
Well, there you go. So my prediction of, or my answer to the previous question will happen. That's nice.
That's it, Gary.
Sure, we're getting close to the end now.
Getting close to the end. As I said, next week we will have a cup final preview show and a league review show. And the week after that, we'll do a cup final review and we'll have our BTS awards. So probably two more pods left this season, I think.
And maybe another Christmas special on the top.
Yeah, we usually do the Christmas special, don't we?
Yeah, good. You know, keep us ticking over in the off season, the desperately long off season. But yeah, no, I think good season so far. Hopefully, tickets will keep going. I saw a tweet today, 25,000 tickets gone.
Yeah, it's probably down on the last couple of years. I think the Bose Pats one that time, which broke the record, I think it sold like 20,000 the first day or two, didn't it? So it seems to be a bit slow compared to other years, but Rovers fans have a lot on their plate at the minute, so maybe they'll have a late surge now after they win the league this week.
Yeah, the vibes will be there. I think probably for the Bulls and Pats one, wasn't it a while since either team had won at? Or Pats had won a cup?
Well, Pats had won it.
Yeah, 2 years beforehand. But yeah, that probably helped though. Yeah, look, Sinead, on to the next.
Yep, on to the next one. We will be back next week as ever. We are sponsored by Quinn AV. Check out quinnav.ie for all your sound, lighting, and AV solutions. From Kieran Burke, from Gary Riley, and from all the team here at BTS, thanks for joining us. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening. Check out betweenthestripes.net for all your favourite BTS content in one place. See you all next week.